scripture reading today comes from Genesis 1, 11 to 13. Genesis 1, 11 to 13. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. I bless you, Randy, as you bring the message.
Thank you, Shelby, for reading the scripture, and thank you, Steve, for leading us in that singing. Boy, that last verse of the song, "We thank you, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for all of your great love." Wow, it's wonderful, wonderful ways of worshiping God. This weekend, in the evening, myself and some friends and Emily were camping out near the Poconos, and we were tenting in 32-degree weather. And let me tell you what, it was awesome. It was, if you have not been aware of the changing seasons around us, it is just such a beautiful time of the year. We were able to do some hiking out in the near the Pocono. It's Promised Land State Park. But just seeing the changing colors of the trees and the cool air was just such an awareness of God's presence in this world and in the creation. And it fits so well being out there as I was preparing for this sermon this morning and thinking about the beautiful creation and the amazing Creator, God, that has such creativity to create this kind of world that we live in. And so this morning is an invitation, as Shelby has already introduced to us, to become ever more aware of the creative God that we serve. And then to ask what we can learn together from this creative God that has created this world. And particularly in this fall-autumn season where the trees are changing colors and the leaves are falling. So we'll specifically be talking about trees. So Neil, I know you're getting excited to talk about trees. And what we can learn from the Creator God and the trees that are in this world. So I thought the scripture text this morning, this is not part of the lectionary this morning, we're going outside of the lectionary. But just to go back to the story of the creation, of God creating vegetation, it's something that's so easy to take for granted, I think, that we live in a world with such incredible vegetation and trees around us. And so I thought maybe just to dig into these verses of God creating this vegetation around us. One of the first things that is important in this text in Genesis is to understand that there's actually two different creation accounts in Genesis. The first one is Genesis 1, 1 to 2, to chapter 2, 4. And then the second creation account is Genesis 2, 4b to 25. So what Shelby read for us this morning is coming out of the first creation account. And if you think about the two different creation accounts, the first one is this really large panoramic vision of the creation. It's kind of taking the really large view of God creating the world. It's a majestic liturgical poem. That's how some scholars see this. And so they go through each day of what was created, and then the response, the liturgical response from the people is, "And it is good, it is very good." So you can think about how this text works as an act of worship, as the people respond to what God has done, and they say, "It is good, it is very good." So this first account really names God's greatness and invites the response from the people. The second account is more focused on the creation of humans. It's more of an intimate account, and it emphasizes the role of humankind in creation. So what can we learn from God creating this world? Well, I think one of the first things is to say, God and the creation are completely different and cannot be compared to one another in their character and grounding. And what I mean by that is to say, the creation itself, the trees, the vegetation, the plants that we grow, they are not God. God did not create God in the creation. And so there's a separateness that God created this. So it's not God itself. And yet, they are intensely and definitively linked together. There is clearly a relationship between the creation and God. There's this relationship of fidelity and faithfulness with God and the creation. The second thing that I think we can pull out of this is to say that these texts in Genesis are not intended to be scientific descriptions of how the world came into being. I remember in my Bible class, one of my first Bible classes, as we were going through the scriptures, the professor, Marion Bontrager, said, "The Bible is not a science book." And that always stuck with me. The Bible is not a science book, but rather is a description of the Creator and the Creator's relationship to creation. Now, this can bring up a lot of feelings and debate as to how we interpret this the creating of this world. And I think it's so easy just to go into your camp of either being a really strong creationist or someone that believes that the earth is millions of years old. And it's just so polarized. And one of the things that I just want to say is I don't think we need to go into our camps and say it's either one or the other. And I believe that we serve a God so big and so creative that we can acknowledge that God is the creator of this amazing world and still not dismiss the science that says the earth is a lot older than 6,000 years. I think we serve a God big enough that we can hold all of that together. And so this incredible creation that I was out in the Poconos this past week and being around these incredible trees and who knows how old they are? I don't know, but I think God's big enough to still be the creator and to still say that these trees are way, way older than 6,000 years. And so this creation account is brought forth in this scripture by God's speech. This affirmation addressed a critical issue in the agrarian society of ancient Palestine. Because what this scripture says is something that we take for granted so easily in this 21st century that was not taken for granted in the context that was written. And that's this question. Does the farmer have to do something special to make sure that when they plant a corn seed, they're going to get corn to grow? When they plant a seed for beans, will beans grow? This text declares the trustworthy faithfulness of the Creator, the regularity of the seasonal crops, and the wonder of the reproductive process as God's continuing gift to the world. And so, now we plant the corn seeds and we just take, we know that corn's probably going to come up. And yet, in that society, that was not a guarantee. And so this text is almost like God's faithful love being expressed in saying, I am the creator of this creation. I have control of the regularity of these seasonal crops. And it was really a part of their worship to God to acknowledge that this creator is in control of this creation. And so in many ways, this creation story is a reminder of God's love, of God's relationship to creation, that we are a part of this creation, and that God loved us so much that he created a world that could sustain humans. So this creation account shows us that if there is a relationship between creation and God, then being in creation and acknowledging God's presence is indeed an act of worship. It is that if this creation is a part of the story of God, this story of God, God's salvation history, and it starts with the creation of the world, then being a part of this creation and noticing it, caring for it, appreciating it, acknowledging it, is in some ways, maybe a significant way, a part of being in the story of God and participating in the story of God. As I was walking outside and noticing the cool air, the leaves falling off the tree, the evenings getting darker much more quickly, and a lot quicker in a week, too, after daylight savings, the changing of the colors, I'm aware that God's creativity, part of God's creativity is that we experience different seasons. That this God who created the seasons, the trees, the light, the cool air, the leaves, must be showing us the incredible beauty and creativity that is God. While many of us love the fall weather, and it's, I hear a lot of people saying that the fall is their favorite season, we anticipate the coming winter months. And as I acknowledge that I love this fall season, I also just want to say this as well, that some may actually start to feel anxiety as this season comes on. Because one of the real things that can't be ignored is that as the evenings get darker quicker and it gets colder outside, that seasonal depression can come on as well. That emotionally, it's more of a difficult season for some. It can have a direct effect on how, on emotions and anxiety or depression. And so maybe in this changing season, as we acknowledge the beauty, we can become extra aware as well for people that, and some of us who experience a difference in how we feel emotionally. Can we remember them, pray for them, listen to them in this time? So for me, I become especially aware of the changing of trees. And this morning in the sermon, I want to dig into trees a little bit. We have an artwork of a tree. We have some, well, I guess there's a tree, ornamental tree. But we can learn a lot from trees, I think. And I have a little tree trivia to start us off here. And Neil, you can't answer first. No, you can if you want. Okay, so number one in tree trivia. It is estimated that there are just over 500 million, B, 5 trillion, C, 800 million, or D, 3 trillion mature trees in the world. How many trees are there in the world? The answer is D, 3 trillion. That's a lot of trees. 3 trillion mature trees. This is coming from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. The tallest known tree in the world is a redwood. Do you know how high it stands? 379 feet high. Good. That's a really tall tree. Number 3. One tree can absorb as much carbon dioxide in a year as a car produces. So that this is the amazing creativity of God. That he knew, or God knew, that this creation was going to need resources to live, and that they were going to produce carbon dioxide, which we can't have too much carbon dioxide or we won't live. We need oxygen. So God said, I'm going to create trees which will absorb the carbon dioxide and then put oxygen back out. So one tree can absorb as much carbon dioxide in a year as a car produces while driving A, 5,000 miles, B, 10,000 miles, C, 20,000 miles, or D, 26,000 miles. 26,000 miles. A tree can absorb as much carbon dioxide in a year. So, I think I'm good. I need about 2 trees in, well, yeah. And last in our tree trivia this morning. How much of the United States is covered in forest? A, 1/10. B, 1/4. C, 1/3. Or D, 3/5. 1/3 of the United States is covered in forest. So what can we learn from trees? Well, one of the first things that I am just so amazed about with trees is that why they lose their leaves. Why do trees lose their leaves in the fall? What is going on there? Well, and actually it has to do with the tree's very life and preservation of it. So there's hormones in the tree that trigger the process of abscission. So the tree actually produces hormones whereby the leaves are actively cut off by these specialized cells. That's how creative our God is. The word abscission shares the same Latin root word as scissors. Scindere, which means to cut. At the start of the abscission process, trees reabsorb valuable nutrients from their leaves and store them for later use in their roots. Chlorophyll, the pigment that gives leaves their green color, is one of the first molecules to be broken down for its nutrients. This is one of the reasons why trees turn red, orange, and gold colors during the fall. And at the end of the abscission process, when the leaves have been shed, a protective layer of cells grows over the exposed area. Wow! It's so amazing. Why, as we look at this tree that has fallen its leaves, I think the first thing that one could think of, it looks like the tree is dead. It looks like the tree is dead. When in fact, at that very time, the tree is preserving and preparing for the winter months, so that it won't die. Because if the tree would keep its leaves, it would have to produce more and more water to feed those leaves. And over the winter months, it can't get enough water. So instead, it loses its leaves and stores its water in its root system. And so this is the first lesson that I'm taking away from the creativity of our God who created these trees. That when the tree looks like it's dead, and when it's dying, it's not. There's lots of life happening. And I think sometimes in our church world, where church is measured by programs and success and numbers and the beauty of the church and the size of it, and it looks like it's really alive and well. And then sometimes we see churches that are not as big or don't have as many programs or don't have a beautiful coffee shop. And it looks like it's not doing as well or as alive. But here's the thing. When something looks like it's not alive is where God maybe is most alive. There is someone that in a school for leadership training down at Eastern Mennonite Seminary, and I can't think of her name right now, but she was talking about how she was pastoring at a small church that was aging. It was smaller than this. It was about 30 people. There was literally no children. And someone came to her and said, "It looks like your church is dying." And she said, "Well, it could be easy to think that. I can see why you're saying that." But she said, "We're baptizing sinners. We're confessing our sins. We are taking communion together. We are supporting one another here, and we are loving each other, and we are remembering that God loves us. We are alive, and we are well, and God is alive, and God is well here." Now, man, love that. God is alive, and God is well, even if everybody here is 80 years old. So when something looks dead, it's not dead. It's upside down. There is life happening. When you're going through an incredibly difficult time, and you don't know how you're going to pay your next bill, God is still alive and well there. When refugees need homes and places to go, and it's becoming and looking desolate, God is still alive and well in this world. When violence is plaguing our streets, I believe God is still alive and well here. When a spouse has dementia and they don't know who they are and they don't know that who you are, God is still alive and well in that situation. What looks dead, there is still life happening. And that is a word of encouragement for all of us. The second thing that I think we can take away here . As these leaves are falling off, there is a cut. There is something changing. It's not staying static. And I think that that's a word for all of us, that we are not staying static, that God is transforming our lives, just as God is transforming this creation. We are always on the move with God, and we move together. This very church, Whitmer Heights, over the past 30 years, does not look the same as it did 30 years ago, or First Deaf. Some of the traditions that we've had might be changing a little bit. Some of the things might have died away, have fallen off. Some things are changing colors here a little bit. Not the chairs yet. And quite frankly, every time there's change, it raises anxiety. Because that's what happens in a system. The system always wants to be even, basically. And so when something changes, something goes off. And what happens then? The system tries to get back to balance. And so there's anxiety in the system whenever anything changes. And so, because the system likes to be stable, it's hard to change. But the reality is, we serve a God that's always transforming us, is always moving us, doesn't want us to stay static, just as the trees don't stay exactly the same. And the beautiful thing here is that as the leaves fall off the trees, as there's changing of the colors, there's also that promise that in the spring, there will be more leaves coming. there will be new life coming. That as we move together, we can trust God that God's bringing new life here. As maybe some things are changing a little bit, whether it's the way we do even worship, that God is transforming us. I think it's easy to think about the programs of the church, but let's also think about this in our own personal lives. Maybe there's things in our own lives that need to be cut or that need to fall off in order to bring new life. And I'm reminded of Janet's Sunday school last week and this need for confession. And confession goes to those places, the darkest places that we don't like in us. As we start taking layers off and layers off and layers off, and we start keeping digging down to those places where we really know we have a lot of pride or greed, confession says, I'm willing to go to that place and stay there and not just run from it as fast as I can. And I'm not just going to stay there, but I'm going to be so vulnerable as to even open it up and be willing to talk about it with another person and ask for forgiveness. And as we do that, I think there's opportunity for some of those things to fall off and to be cut from the tree. And God, the transforming God, just as God's transforming these trees around us, is saying, as you're willing to go to those places, as you're willing to explore the places that you don't like the most, I'm going to bring new life there. I'm going to bring transformation. And so maybe this morning God is moving in such a way that you're becoming aware of maybe habits in your own life or sins that you know are there that need to fall off in order for new life to come. We serve a God that is transforming us and this church. And so I invite us to claim the faithfulness of God in our lives. And just as the farmers in Palestine weren't sure that when they plant corn, if there was going to be corn that came up, that when they plant their beans, will beans come? And this text in Genesis says, yes, if you plant that seed will produce. Just as God's faithful there, can we claim God's faithfulness in our own lives? God's promise of new life, even when it doesn't look like there's always new life. That even when we don't know what all needs to be cut, or even what needs to die, we believe that new life is still going to come. And where do we see this the most? We see this the most even in the life of death of Jesus. That even when Jesus died and looked like he was defeated, the powers that be that crucified Jesus, even then, Jesus was not defeated, but he rose from the dead in the resurrection. God rose Jesus. God is alive, and God is here. God is alive, and God is well. And this is God's church, even as it's being transformed and changing. And we get to be a part of this. I want to close by something for our children. And that is a small reminder that you're going to be able to take away today. We have daffodil bulbs for you. And there's going to be an opportunity for, during the song of response, to come up and take your daffodil bulb. And what this represents is that when you plant the daffodil bulb into the ground, you're not going to see the life of it right away. You're not going to see the flower come up even in the next month. But that doesn't mean that it's dead. there's still life in there. And as you plant the bulb, look forward to anticipation for the spring as you see the daffodil flower come up. Because this is a reminder that God is always bringing new life, even in the hardest times when you can't see that new life yet. And so maybe we even had the idea, maybe we can plant these daffodil bulbs at our church here. The children can plant them at our church so we can all be reminded together of new life coming. I'm going to close with a prayer by Doug Lawnhart. Would you pray with me? God of all seasons, we thank you for autumn and the fall. We thank you for the touch of coolness in the air that gives us a new burst of energy. For the coloring of trees that shows the creativity of the divine artist. For the falling leaves that reveal the strength of the branches. For the hues of fields that bring peace to our souls. For the smiles on pumpkins that bring joy to children. For the fall harvest that brings us gratitude for the bounty of our land. For this change of seasons that reveals the circle of life. God of all seasons, as you transform the earth, transform us by your Spirit. Amen.